Hello everybody, my name is Dawn Bezzers and I have the pleasure in hosting the latest episode of Chimneys Chats. Today I would like to welcome Anita Tweet, CEO of The Finance People, to our latest podcast. I must admit, Anita, I've been really excited about you being here today. I think you're a very inspirational person in being a successful CEO in the finance world, and your journey as a woman in getting to that position is going to be a really interesting story for everybody.
Thanks for having me.
No problem. Anita, great to have you here today, as I said. Can you just explain about being a CEO of The Finance People, who you are, what kind of company you've got, just so that people have an understanding before we go into the personal side?
So my background is, I've got a finance background. So I founded and set up The Finance People to help support SMEs in terms of that they can tap into the strategic expertise of a finance director at the fraction of the cost. So it's for businesses that don't necessarily need somebody full-time or maybe can't afford, but want that strategic input and that visionary viewpoint.
Yeah. So it's very much, is it very much a personalised journey? Because every business, do you deal in small, medium, large? Do you go...
Typically, they run from 2 million to 20 million, but there are exceptions. I've got clients that have 40 million turnover. They've got a part-time FD.
Yeah.
So really, it depends on the structure and what that looks like.
And would that be support from the point of view of if they were thinking of an exit strategies, if they were thinking that they needed to do more management accounts? How would your guys fit in?
So it's that and everything else. So, you know, and over. Business owner doesn't wake up one day and think, oh, let's have a finance director. Yeah. There tends to be a trigger.
Yeah.
So it could be that they're looking to exit and they want to get the business ready for sale. It could be that they're acquisitive and they're looking at purchasing other businesses. It could be that they're looking to raise funds. Mm. It could be as simple as they are not confident in the numbers and they want to get some management information and new reporting. Mm. It could be that they need an FD to sit on their board to give it some gravitas. It is quite a personal sort of service, if you like, but it's generally tends to be anything that's kind of strategic and visionary that they need doing that's out of their realm.
Excellent. So can you share a bit about your journey and what led you to become a CEO of The Finance People?
So going back to sort of school days, I always knew that I wanted to have my own business. I wanted that freedom and I wanted the challenge of building something. So I was always mindful of, you know, what qualifications I was going to achieve. So it was either going to be law or finance. I was good at maths and I was good at history. So both of which I found quite easy and enjoyable. So in the end, I decided to go down the route of finance. Purely because there weren't many senior finance women in finance departments that I'd worked in the past. So I thought, you know, we could change that. And I think for me, it was more aligned to what I wanted to achieve in the long term. Mm. So finance was the way that I went.
So what kind of companies did you start this journey with?
Well, I have actually worked in practice, but I've worked for a lot of corporates. So I've worked for Johnson Matthey, Wedgwood, Dalton. Some big corporates.
Yeah. So you'd probably be quite an independent person, wouldn't you, really, to take this journey?
Yes, yeah. Massively.
And yeah. I think you've got to be quite a strong personality, particularly as a woman. You know, going into the finance world, because I know, when did you start this business? How long ago?
So the original business, the first business was started in 2009. So, yeah. You know, I've been unemployed, let's say, for a long time.
Yeah. Why do you say you've been unemployed? Why do you?
Because that was a big key for me. I didn't want to be employed.
Right.
Okay. I was very much
so not unemployed from the yeah okay.
I wanted to be the master of
your
my
own destiny,
which meant that I didn't want to be employed. So as quick I could move out of employment for me was the better. But I equally appreciated that I needed to, you know, have earned my stripes and done a stint before I could do that. But it was always the means to
an end. Because people have got to take you seriously, haven't
absolutely.
They? Yeah. So like when you've worked at these larger companies, and built your reputation, because everything, I suppose, is on reputation in this journey.
Yeah, of course it is. Yeah.
Yeah. So I would imagine a typical day for you is very exciting, very demanding, and balancing those demands of being a female, you know, running your own business, being a COO, and your personal life. How do you feel that pans out for yourself?
It's a lot better now because the boys are older, because I've got twins, as you know, and Harry. So I had three under the age of three. So the first couple of years were an absolute blur, if I'm honest, trying to do both. It's a lot easier now, but I think the pressure of women in business and trying to run family and the guilt is immense. I was always, am I being a good enough mum? Am I being a good enough CEO? Are they eating the right foods? Am I attending enough,
school activities.
Activities in general. Yeah. You know, or am I putting them in the aftercare club too many times a week? Yeah. You know, do I need to be there? And I think the guilt, certainly when you've got a young family, I think it's horrendous.
But I think then the advantages that you're providing for your family, for their growth in the future. And I think from a point of view of your work ethic, I think that translates through in a strong way.
Yeah, but very much so. I mean, I've been on holiday where we've all had to agree that mum can go and do 2 hours of work a day.
Yeah.
And it was always, you know, I need a couple of hours, guys, so I'll go off and you play in the pool and I'll go and do that. Yeah. So they've always been quite accepting of it. Mm. They've never made me feel guilty.
No.
It's never been like that.
It's your own guilt.
Yes, very much so. Yeah, very much so.
And like you say, people around you probably just see success, hard work, determination, where as a female, and men do too, do you know what I mean? You do carry this family guilt around with you, of the weight of the shoulders.
I think you're trying to be everything, aren't you?
Yeah.
And for people that are quite driven, I think you want to be at the top of your game in every aspect of your life, don't you? And that's the bit where you struggle, because you can't. You just can't.
And I think when running a business, every move, every strategic move you take is so important, because there's a ripple down effect.
Massively.
You know, from that aspect. Because, you know, and throughout your development of your business, how do you feel you've met people that work for you? Has it been a fact that through growth you've found them? Or is it a fact that the people that you've met along the way that you thought of a good fit for your business?
A bit of both. So some of it is organic. If you go back to when I founded the Finance People, which was 2017, the whole idea of part-time finance directors was a little bit unheard of. So it was an education piece. I was going out to clients and they were saying, so what does part-time mean? Do they do 2.5 days a week? Are they semi-retired? Mm. And I was like, no. And you had to explain that they work 20 days a month. But may have 5 to 6 clients. It's about building a portfolio. That doesn't necessarily come easy to some finance directors, certainly the ones that have been in big corporates, because it's, again, juggling a lot of balls. You're trying to manage maybe up to 6 clients a month. So it's a different style of working, and it doesn't suit everybody. So that it was initially it was more organic and talking to finance directors that I knew about possibly coming on board and exploring, you know, the option of building a portfolio. Post-COVID, that's a lot easier. Mm-hmm. That whole flexi hybrid working.
Well, I think people have become more accustomed to that from that aspect. And they understand that if somebody isn't sitting their bum on the seat, they're still doing a very good job for the company. And they're still, and I actually think sometimes they're working harder.
Very much so.
Because you haven't got that sort of, you know, that commute into the office. You haven't got that commute home.
Yeah.
I think you get a better working environment. I think, you know, there's a great home life transition as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, happier people, happier working.
Yeah, very
you
much
know,
so.
And I think COVID was an abysmal time in everybody's life. But actually, I think some very good things from that perspective
very much
came
so.
Out
very
of
much
it.
So. And from, you know, from the finance director's point of view, not just the client's point of view, it's that work-life balance. Mm. And COVID made everybody stop, pause, yeah. take a breath, and, mm. and let's look at what we're doing, mm. both in terms of, you know, work and family life. And I think there's more people now that want that flexibility. Mm. You know, I've got some FDs that don't work on a Friday because they restore steam trains.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I've got people that don't want to work, you know, they only want to work 15 days mm. a month rather than 20 mm. Because they want that flexibility mm. to do other things. Looking after, you know, elderly parents and yeah. things like that. So it works quite well from both sides.
And I do think that, you know, there's so much talent, and you mentioned retirement early and, you know, the big age debate and those kind of things. But actually, people have got so much to give,
yeah.
but they probably don't want to be, you know, like you said, at the top of the corporate ladder where they're working, you know, 400 days yeah. a year as such, but they've still got a lot to give back and their yeah. experience, you know, whether youth or yeah. older, really.
And the thing is, as well, working with SMEs, it's actually great. They tend to be owner-managed businesses, and you can turn things around on a sixpence. They're very agile. They're very mm. flexible businesses, where corporates are quite stuffy. They're big dinosaurs. So for the FDs, it's quite refreshing to go to a different environment where they can see an immediate impact and, yeah. you know, and little changes cause big changes.
Yeah.
So it's quite refreshing for them as well.
So what qualities do you believe are essential for effective leadership, and especially in a high-pressure industry like finance?
I do think you've got to have some gravitas. You know, if you are going to be signposting people or making recommendations, you really have got to have earned your stripes. So for me, a lot of that is about being a visionary leader and, you know, how are we going to get from A to B, and what does that growth look like, and what's going to enable that to happen? And then working from the top down, really, mm. and then putting that back into place of these are the things that we need to do. It's not particularly management per se, but I would say that it's definitely more leadership, and you're on a journey and you want people to come with you and take people with you. And I think honesty, transparency, all of those mm. things help to ensure that, you know, you're all working together and you're all going towards a common goal. And I think as long as, you know, you hold your hands up, there's things I can't do that mm. I'll say there's somebody else is better equipped to do that, you know. Yeah. And I think just being ethical, really.
So do you still work with clients then, or is your main role now growing the business, building the client base? Do you still work on a finance side, direct, one-to-one with clients, or...?
Not so much, yeah. but I have quite a direct involvement in some clients.
Yeah.
So I'm not actually their FD, but it could be, you know, if they're wanting to raise funds or whatever, I've got, I call it my tool bag. I've got a tool bag. So the FDs will ring me and say, Anita, we need to, you know, go and get some funding. Who should we speak to?
Mm.
Because we need X, Y, and Z. Or, you know, we're looking to get some R&D tax credits. Mm. Who can we speak to? So I tend to be a little bit more of an oracle rather than operational.
Yeah. But I think that's really good, because I think sometimes when you take yourself out of the business slightly, you're there to look over and are able to grow the business.
Yeah.
Because what are your sort of aspirations, say, over the next 5 years?
The big aspiration, I suppose, would be that I think every SME should have a part-time finance director, if I'm honest.
Mm.
And what that looks like, whether that's, you know, 4 days a month or it's 1 day a month, is really irrelevant. But I think to be able to offer that is sort of the bigger picture for me.
And I think sometimes, you know, particularly with people with smaller businesses, they're a master of everything, aren't they? They're a finance director, they're a sales director, they're operations, you know, they're everything, and you can't be all things to all men. So I think having them being able to translate the fact that you can bring somebody in a day a week or 2 days a month or something like that can actually help you to support and relieve you a little bit and see what your own financial journey is.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, even in watching, I was watching The Apprentice last Thursday, and they went through the financial horror of the interviews.
And some
and some of them hadn't even put, like, the 6 month review of the accounts in, and some of them actually got established businesses from that aspect. And sometimes there's a bit of a light bulb moment that do you do that for yourself, you know, or do you just think, because I think sometimes when you're making money, you don't really look at the planning of that. It's just the fact of like continuously going, how are you going? And sometimes you just can't do that. And I think COVID like stopped a lot of companies hemorrhaging money as well, because then they started thinking, what am I paying these? What am I paying all this money out for? And I think sometimes you go to your accountant and you think, is this person going to be my FD? But actually, they're not really the right people, are they? Because, and that's no, you know, dissatisfaction on accountants. It's the different skills that need to come into it.
Accountants are very rear view mirror. So it's historic data that they're looking at. They tend to come at year end and, and pull yourself and, you know, your accounts together. Finance directors are very much more forward thinking. And it's the now, and it's how we're going to get from A to B, and it's forecasting that, and it's putting budgets together for the year ahead. It's very different way of viewing it. So yeah, most people, most business owners will, in the initial stages of the startup, will rely heavily on their external accountants. But as that business grows and evolves, that's when you would need to bring an FD on board.
Yeah. And going back earlier, we spoke a little bit about your journey from an educational point of view and finding your way you wanted to go and different things, and you went to university. Do you feel there's a continuous learning aspect to what you're doing?
Very much so. I really enjoy education, and I'm quite academic. So even now, I'll probably read 2 to 3 books a month. Always listening to podcasts when I'm in the car. You know, I think it is really important, and I've got such an appetite for that that I find it quite easy. I look forward to going on holiday just so I can read.
And hide working somewhere. So from a personality point of view, you know, I think you have to be quite confident to do what you do. You have to be quite independent, you know. Do you think there's any other aspects? Because I think it can be daunting. And like you say, you started a business, you had 3 children, you juggled school life. I know the, how old are they now?
22 and 19.
Because they're twins, aren't they?
So little anymore.
Not so little anymore, but they still, I think, have the same demands.
They're still challenging.
Daily. Do you know what I mean? I call it the boomerang years, for argument's sake, from that point of view. Life's very much moved on. But you're still there for them. And I think as a mother, that never changes.
Yes, very much so. And I'd always want to be. You know, I'm probably do too much for them, should we say. They're not as independent as they should be. But then there's also a want from me to do it.
Do you feel you overcompensate slightly because of the fact of how the work-life balance previously, it's been more demanding on work than the personal life?
Probably to a certain extent. It's still a bit of a juggle, and it's a moving feast. One minute, you know, family life takes priority, doesn't it? So the next minute, it could be the business or something within the, or a client could take priority. And that's, it's just a moving feast, isn't it? I don't think, everything is just so fluid, isn't it?
And I think you have to be quite organic, really, for change. And I think, you know, when you're managing change, looking to the future for change, I think you really have to be flexible, and you said agile, in the way that you work with things as well, from that perspective. So is there a time, really, you know, within your timeline of growing these businesses where you face setback, failure? What lessons do you feel you learned from those?
I think there's bumps in the road throughout the whole of the journey, isn't there? I think the biggest change and the biggest setback, like for most people, was COVID. We went from, you know, servicing clients and having a physical presence in the businesses to working remotely. There was a big uptake on our services, you know, with the government giving out the loans and, yeah. and all of that. So we were very busy, but the way in which we worked changed. Some clients had to, you know, put different systems in place, finance systems, so that it could be accessed remotely. We all adapted to that change. But I think for the first few months, I think everybody was just like, you know, startled. What we're going to do.
How is this going to affect us?
There was no manual that told us how we were going to get around this. And I think for a lot of businesses, it was daunting. I mean, you know, I've got businesses where they're third, fourth generation, and, you know, past COVID, they haven't got the appetite to build it up again.
No.
What they did 60 years ago. So a lot of them have put their businesses up for sale, which, again, you know, that was never on the cards before COVID.
No. I think it made them reflect on their lives, really.
Very much so,
you know, and I think it made people think about longevity and what's going to happen, what's going to be the next step, and what's around the corner, what's going to affect me personally.
Very much so.
Because, you know, there was obviously a lot of loss throughout that period as well. So I think it made people reflect on the dynamics of their own lives.
Yeah. And more, I think more people as well during COVID, I read it somewhere, that the uptake with companies house on people starting their own companies rose quite dramatically. Because, again, I think it was that, you know, life's too short, you know, I don't want to stay doing that, you know, I want to go and do something on my own. So I think there was a massive amount of change in the workplace post-COVID.
And I think it also creatively gave people started looking at different things of what they were good at.
Yeah.
You know, so they started doing more things for themselves, really, from that aspect.
Yeah.
So I suppose out of that comes different talents.
Yeah, very much so,
in what they do. So I would imagine there was quite a bit of change from that aspect. And I think from your point of view with the financial directors, it's not just about the directors that you work with, but you work with people if they need payroll support and those different activities.
Yeah, we offer from bookkeeping right the way through to non-execs and chairs, obviously, with a finance background.
And how do you feel people find you? Is it mainly by reputation?
Yeah, I mean, there's a number of ways, really. Obviously, we do all the advertising, but we also work quite closely with the accountants and the banks.
Yeah.
So they often identify or may say to their client that you really need to get somebody, some, you know, finance director in or somebody to support that. Word of mouth.
Yeah.
Is quite good. We used to market on a regional basis, really, with you know, finding an FD within an hour of a client.
Yeah.
But now, again, post COVID, the world's a smaller place, and we've got FDs in Leeds servicing clients at Milton Keynes. So, which has then allowed us to better match them to, in terms of personality and culture fit. So it's working quite well, actually.
So are you mainly national? Do you have international clients? Is that a route that you would eventually want to take?
It's mainly national, but we've got clients in Taiwan, we've got clients in Thailand, France, but they tend to have a UK holding company, and these are subsets.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. So if somebody was starting their own business, what type of advice would you give them to start their journey?
Obviously, you need to get your numbers in order. Obviously.
Or even have some numbers.
Have some numbers. But in all honesty, it starts with sales, doesn't it? Let's not be deluded.
Yeah.
Go and sell and earn some money. We can't account for nothing.
And I think from your point of view, you very much saw a niche in the market.
Yeah.
And were able to develop that, you know, very early in the stage of the understanding and the flexible working, you know, and having key people. And I think sometimes bringing that independent knowledge into a business, they're a little less sort of personalised to the business. So they give you the truth.
I always say that. So it's very different when we put a FD into an SME in the sense that it's a two-way process.
So they want to be able to work with the owner of the business. They want to share the vision. They want to be part of that journey. So it's very different. If they don't feel they could add value, and I always call it the barbecue test, or if the client doesn't think, you know, he would invite the FD to the family barbecue, it isn't going to work because it's a very close relationship. So, but there's the advantage that the FD can challenge more and be a little bit more candid because they aren't on the payroll. They're not relying on their mortgage being paid, you know. And it's about having that more honest and open relationship and questioning where, as an employee, I think people don't want to upset the boss. You know, it's natural, isn't it? They don't want to upset the boss. And I think this is more, the dynamics of the relationship are slightly different because it is a case of, you know, I don't think we should be doing that. Or, you know, we're off doing this. I don't think we should be doing that. Let's rein it back in and let's get these things in place. So it's a different style of working.
And I think when you say different style, people can be very scared of numbers, you know, when they're working with them. And I think traditionally, you know, you're talking 20, 30, 40 years ago, there was quite a stuffiness, you know, and an aloof side to an accountancy and financial controlling and directors and whatever. And I think you bring very much a human aspect to that service as well. The people that you employ, partner with, etc., to deliver those.
We've sat on the floor in a warehouse in December boxing phone cases up and getting them sent out. So it's not all glam.
Well, I'd really like to thank you today, Anita, coming
in. Thank you.
I think your story is exceptionally inspirational, and I hope listeners really get something out of it, you know, from that point of view. And obviously, if they want to find out more about your business, go to thefinancepeopleuk.com. Just make sure I don't get it wrong. And this is another publication by Lawrence Davies Digital. And again, if you wish to follow our journey, go to lawrencedavies.co.uk. Thank you.
Thank you.